the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site, covering your Arizona Cardinals, and my co-host joins me on a Thursday evening rather than Thursday afternoon. Things are starting to get crazy for Seth's non-podcast schedule. Seth Cox from AvengeTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. This is episode 528, and this is, honestly, this is about mock drafts and trade possibilities. We've discussed some trade stuff lately, Seth, right? Just the notion of should the Cardinals trade it, but my goodness, it's the thing that doesn't go away. We're still literally 4 weeks away. We're recording, like, 4 weeks from now, the Cardinals will have finished the first round.
And yeah, probably right around the 27th pick. Yeah. Or they'll have already picked, and it's, you know, and we'll be discussing.
I'm like, all this stuff that happened. But, all the buzz is saying that the Cardinals are willing to trade. And we know that. We know that they're willing to trade. But what we want to do, first and foremost, there's two particular scenarios that we want to kind of play out. And then Seth's got something as well. So let's start with the ridiculous one. The one they're like, what in heaven's name is this guy thinking? Mike Tannenbaum over at ESPN, former GM. He's heavy on the former. Honestly, yes. I'll throw a shout out to my son, Diego, who, when he put that mock draft out with the trade that's involved with it, he's like, we know why you're a former. This is why you're a former GM, Mike Tannenbaum. But here's how it goes. So the Cardinals, they make a trade, but it's with the Vikings, but it isn't the one we've been talking about. It isn't the Vikings trading the 11th pick and 23rd pick and maybe something else to move up to number four to pick J.J. McCarthy. This is what Mike Tannenbaum does. The Cardinals draft J.J. McCarthy. Cardinals take J.J. McCarthy fourth overall and then trade Kyler Murray to the Minnesota Vikings along with their first third-round pick to get the 11th pick. And I'm like, wait, what? And then the notion is to get rid of Kyler's contract and to, you know, kind of start the quarterback clock. It took the rookie contract clock again, which is certainly something, right?
Which would be fine if they hadn't basically missed that window. We know that they had to basically, what was it, $32.5 million of his next year's salary guaranteed. And at some point, I can't remember when it was, but this offseason. Then obviously he's got the $51 million in salary this year. And so, you know, I think people have heard me use this phrase before, but those numbers were always baked into what they were doing. Like, they were always baked into, like, okay, if this is where we go, knowing that those were the dates, those were the times they had to make those hard decisions if they felt like they needed to. They haven't. I mean, everything that they've, we talked about this on Tuesday, you had a great observation. You know, this group, they love Kyler. They love what he's doing, what he's put out there. Like I said, the response from Greg Dortch was just the laughing emoji. Like, this is a different feel about the quarterback. And so, you know, from the standpoint of restarting the clock, you understand that. But you're basically losing 2 years of that in this scenario.
Because, so, like, here's the thing. Like, J.J. McCarthy, I get why some people are starting to get a little bit enamored with J.J. McCarthy. Because it's the Brock Purdy effect, right?
Right, but also in what the Cardinals want to do, like he's a good fit. Like he is a guy that fits that kind of play action, you know, the ability to win from under center or in the shotgun, that is really a really very solid game manager with the ability to make special throws when needed. But he's not, you know, he's not a guy that's going to win you games, but he's not a guy that is going to lose you games, basically. And you know, that's a, like you said, the Brock Purdy effect of like, oh, that's a guy that doesn't make many mistakes, keeps us in games consistently, and like gives us a chance to win consistently. And there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, there's a lot of good things about that.
There is one thing wrong with that. Brock Purdy works because it's the San Francisco 49ers. Put Brock Purdy on this roster, he's not he's not the same. And to bring in J.J. McCarthy, who is, and honestly, whether you think he's the fourth best quarterback or the third best quarterback in this quarterback class, he's not the top quarterback in this class. Like, he might end up being the best one, but that depends on a lot of things. But with his skill set, what are you going to do with him in this with these receivers? Yeah, you've got James Conner, you've got Trey McBride. Can you expect at least replacement level? Like what Kyler did, not excluding, we won't include the last three games, but if we're just looking at the 8-game window Kyler played in, is it even fair to say that JJ can even play at that level for his rookie season?
Well, and like you said, not just for his rookie season, but with this roster, right? Like it's a lot to ask of any quarterback, but especially a rookie. And so, you know, you look at, and I'm going to probably get killed if this ever gets back there, but like you look at Tua, kind of the same thing, right? Like he's not a guy that elevates everybody around him, but he sure does put on a good show with that crew, right? They're very talented and things of that nature. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things, man. It's a crazy thing, but like I said, like you reset the clock, but you really reset it just for 2 years. So you're talking about in 2026, you start to reap the benefits of of that cheap quarterback play. And now you only have really a year if he's good, right? Like, or I mean, 2 years technically, but like a year until you have to pay him. And so it's the fantasy land and you know.
Well, and here's the stupid thing. He wasn't even just like the Cardinals did a Marquise Brown deal for Kyler because it was Kyler and a third for Minnesota's number 11 pick. And and I'm just like, I don't get this. I don't.
I mean, there's still guys like Tannenbaum in the league that, you know, they don't trust that he's going to be the guy and win enough games and things of that nature. And it's just interesting because, you know, you look at what Tannenbaum did as a GM, and it's legitimately like painful to look at. I mean, it's like he set that franchise back years, and he did so because, you know, you look at it, he had his first draft and you know, it kind of mirrors what Steve Keim did actually. You know, he had his first draft and he got really solid guys, maybe not great players, but he got guys like DeBrickashaw Ferguson, Nick Mangold, he got Brad Smith, Leon Washington, you know, four guys that were in the NFL for a long time, really stalwarts. And then in 2007, and this is where you kind of see what the problem with Mike Tannenbaum is, and maybe that's why he's such a bad GM. In 2007, Jess, they had four picks. Now, to be fair, he got an All-Pro in Darrell Revis, but they had four picks. Jess, do you know how many picks they had in 2009?
How many?
Three.
Oh my gosh! So he was wheeling and dealing. Like he was rather than using them as was using them to acquire players for now, rather than developing players. Now, granted, he was hitting on a few players, but he wasn't building depth. He wasn't building depth.
But he wasn't after Darrell Revis, the tank went dry. I mean, he had two first round picks in 2008. He took Vernon Golston and Dustin Keller.
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. 2009 was the year he drafted Mark Sanchez. His three picks that year were Mark Sanchez, Sean Green. I don't know if you remember Sean Green. Everybody's still waiting for him to break out. And Matt Slauson, who ironically was probably the best pick of the three, you know, a six rounder. You know, 2010, they take somebody named Kyle Wilson, Vlad Dukakis, Joe McKnight, who wasn't a bad return guy, and John Connor. No, not James Connor, John Connor.
Terminator.
And then, you know, his last like best pick was probably Muhammad Wilkerson, who was, you know, made one Pro Bowl. I mean, that's who that guy. And then the year he got fired, 2012, he basically, you know, gave up everything. And you know, I mean, first round, he drafted Quentin Coples. Second round, he drafted the guy I couldn't remember the other night, Stephen Hill, the wide receiver. And he did get DeMario Davis, who's been, you know, a great starter
really
in the league
really
for a decade. But, yeah, it's just like, I mean, you're talking about a guy who used to sell draft picks for basically nothing and got nothing out of it, that's wanting to provide advice for what the Cardinals should do with this out of the box, like reset. And it would make sense. And, you know, I don't think that McCarthy's going to be this bad, but, you know, why wouldn't Tannenbaum go get another guy like Mark Sanchez, right? Like in McCarthy.
Now, you know, let's play counterpoint. In this deal, the Cardinals end up with three first round picks. They get JJ McCarthy, fourth overall. They get Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback that you love, 11th overall. That's a great addition. And then with the 27th pick, they grab Ladd McConkey, speedy, reliable guy out of Georgia.
Yeah, I like Ladd, but if he ends up having to be your wide receiver one, you're in a bad spot. And that's the thing, is like, again, Mike Tannenbaum's building a roster from 2008. Like, you know, like a guy that doesn't throw the ball a lot and a guy that, you know, a hardworking slot receiver. And again, there's nothing wrong with that.
But then you're getting away Kyler Murray, and you're sending Kyler Murray to Minnesota to throw the ball to Justin Jefferson.
And Jordan Addison.
Oh my gosh. And hand the ball off to Aaron Jones and TJ Hockenson Oh my gosh. But yeah, there's so many layers to it. Like the notion that you're going to replace Kyler Murray with JJ McCarthy, you've got to be really convicted about McCarthy. Now, Jim Harbaugh is like, I'd take him first of all. Of course you would say that because you're not going to have to.
Not only that, but remember, he still has paws at Michigan. And so he's still trying to help Sherrod Moore and those guys recruit, right? Like, he's still a Michigan man through and through, and he's trying to help them, you know. And he's like, hey, I would, you know, JJ McCarthy.
So,
you know,
hey, Jim, Coach Harbaugh, if you believe in JJ, trade Justin Herbert. Oh my gosh, that's the mock draft that they should do. That the mock draft that they should do, that maybe I'll do that just for fun, is is that's what they do, is they trade Justin Herbert to the Vikings so that the Chargers can draft J.J. McCarthy so Harbaugh can have his quarterback back, and then he can put his money where his mouth is, like, I draft him first overall.
Right. Well, go do it. I will say this. The one problem he's going to have is, well, like you said, if they trade with that would have to be kind of like you're saying, you know, what we were talking about off the air. And obviously, you know, we're being hyperbolic, but like that would have to be a draft day trade, right? Because they would have to make sure McCarthy's there, you know, because now the rumor is he's going number two overall to the Commanders and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, it's just, that's the thing, is like you can play that devil's advocate and be like, hey, but that's the thing, is you're literally losing 2 years of that. Oh, financial. There's no financial freedom. Like there's not, you're not resetting the clock because you're paying it in dead money. And sure, you could probably spread it out over X amount of years and, you know, kick the can down the road. And so it's like,
they would have $39 million in dead money. But they would save $9.8 million against the cap.
Right. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. Right. So and that's what I mean. It's like, it's just such an, it's just like, I don't, if people want to come with outside the box things, like I actually don't mind stuff like that. Like I've seen a couple that I'm like, hey, you know, I wouldn't do that, but like, at least it's something different. Right. But like the idea of like, oh, you're going to take J.J. McCarthy, whether or not he's better than Kyler or doesn't even matter. Like if you are going to make that move, you have to be, I mean, that is literally Monty's legacy right there. And trust me, we're not talking like long term. We're talking like in year one, if you're not improved, you're going to have to explain to the owner why the Minnesota Vikings are, you know, winning the NFC North and, Cardinals. Yeah. The Cardinals went from 4 wins to 3 wins because, well, you know, we were kind of handicapped because we had to
quarterback.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you're the one that made the deal. So that's the thing, is like, I will say this, and you know, we're just talking and it's never going to happen, but if they did that, and they were, you would have to believe that Monty, you know, Monty's like, this is my guy. And I mean, you're hitching your wagon to that. And it literally doesn't make a lick of sense. It's unfortunate, but you know, it did what it needed to do. And it generated clicks and conversation and brought Mike Tannenbaum back to the forefront for, for 4 days. Right.
Yep. Yep. Coming to next on the Rise of Receiver podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Let's talk about a different mock draft. ESPN Matt Miller has a 7-round mock with a different team and a different. This one's not crazy, but it's worth talking about. Let's come to the next one, Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Miss Arab Cardinals Talk on the Web, as we talk trade possibilities and mock drafts. This 7-round mock draft comes from Matt Miller of ESPN, and this one doesn't have the Vikings trading up. It's the Denver Broncos. And the difference is the Cardinals in this one get a Trey Lance type deal. And so I want to get your take on this because this is what they do. The Broncos trade up to number 4 so they can draft J.J. McCarthy. And the Cardinals move back to number 12. Don't get anything else in this draft or player, but then also get Denver's 2025 first rounder and 2026 first rounder, because apparently the Broncos are allergic to first round picks in what they're doing.
They're trying to follow the Rams. The different thing, they don't have all those players on the roster already.
Yeah, and then what the Cardinals do with the 12th pick, they end up with LSU's Brian Thomas. Now, if you were listening to the show, over the last couple of weeks, Seth detailed why he's not a big fan of Thomas. There's like everything about his production this year, his size, his speed, and athleticism says he'll be good, But then you see DJ Chark's career and you're like, is he that? Especially because, obviously, at LSU, he wasn't the alpha. That was Malik Nabers. But this one is worth discussing for a couple of reasons, because this is that Trey Lance deal where it is 3 first-round picks. But I think Matt Millard missed on something on this, because now the one reason why that the 49ers traded 3 first round picks is because, and this is where Matt also kind of messes, because it was 3 firsts and a second or a third. I can't remember which one. It was back in what was it, 2021?
Yeah.
And so because the 49ers didn't have another pick to give that year. So they had the 2021 pick, first round pick that they moved up. Then it was the 2022 first and 2023 first, but wasn't it also a 2022 second or third?
Yeah, let me double check.
I think it was this. I've written about this. I just don't remember. And people say 3 first. Well, context. The reason why that third pick, that last pick was a first, is because the 49ers didn't give up any other draft capital in that immediate year. And what it probably, had they had a second round pick, or been, so it probably would have been a first and a second and a first and a second, or first, was it a third round pick in 20?
Yeah, third round pick in 2022.
So it would have been if they had had a pick in the second round in 2021. Basically, it would have been a first and a second and a first and a third, which that makes sense. But because they didn't have another pick in that first year, it cost them a first later. Now, that's the part that I get. So it ended up being for 4 picks, right?
Yeah, so now I'm looking at it and it's more clear. Okay, so it was, they traded, so it's exactly the same as this year. They traded 12 and a third rounder in this year, and then 2 additional first round picks. So that's what it was. So it was 3 first rounders and then a third rounder in the same pick.
Yes. And in this one,
or in the same draft, sorry.
Yeah. And the Broncos in this draft don't give any, so it's just 3 first round picks only.
And so that's what I actually wanted to ask you, because that was the person I've spoken to from the Broncos end of things, says that's the expectation, is it would be 3 first and this year's third.
Okay.
Or 3 first and Cortland Sutton.
That I would actually be more attracted to. I would like that deal more, because he's got 2 more years of Cortland Sutton. Because what you're doing is basically saying, well, I'm not going to get the top receivers, but instead, so, and that's the thing. It was either, and when I looked at this deal, I said, great, the 3 firsts is great, but you've got to get something this year. You've got to get something this year. So you're going to move back 8 picks and miss the top talent. So you've got to get something this year, whether that is a starter, whether that's Cortland Sullivan, whether that's Pat Surtain, okay, we'll take Pat Surtain, or their number 76.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting to me, because, you know, I put up a poll on Revenge of the Birds today, and a lot of people are not for the future first, the multiple future first. They want, you know, the immediate gratification, and I do understand that. I truly do. But here's my thing, and I'm not opposed to the Vikings pick, and I get that future first are never worth, you know, the same as this year's first, because this year's first, you know what you're getting, as opposed to next year you don't. But, I mean, they traded Jerry Jeudy. They didn't improve on defense. And now they're starting a rookie quarterback. Or did they sign Gardner Minshew? Who signed Minshew?
The Raiders. The Raiders got Minshew.
Raiders. Okay. And so, you know, and then they have, you know, I think you're starting at quarterback right now, technically, for them. So it's, you know, and it's like that first this year and next year, it's Jared Stidham right now as their starter.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And so that first this year and next year, I mean, you could be talking about like back-to-back top five picks.
We thought that this year, too. We thought that with the Houston.
I agree, but I don't – they don't have
– That's true. That's true.
Well,
they have a better coaching situation with
yeah, right,
well,
exactly.
One, C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. We're not massive fans of Sean Payton at this point in his career.
Right. What he's done has not been impressive without Drew Brees. And that's, you know, and so you could, but that's the thing. You have to, again, like trading, and again, we know it's not going to happen, but like trading Kyler Murray for J.J. McCarthy, you have to have the conviction in your heart that that pick is going to end up being, you know, a top 10 pick in concurrent drafts.
Yeah.
Or you do what the Dolphins did, and that's why, you know, you guys don't know this, but we had to go to break for a second because finding the results of the Trey Lance trade, like if you just Google Trey Lance trade 49ers Dolphins, it doesn't just give you the trade immediately. It gives you all the crap
Miami, about Trey Lance since then.
Yeah, that Miami ended up getting. Because the Dolphins ended up getting Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Bradley Chubb for the third overall pick in 2021, and then the 2022 first rounder that they gave up. And so, you know, they used that capital to go get Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb. Now, people have to understand this is the other part of it. And Jess and I would, you know, obviously be extremely happy if you went and got a player of Tyreek Hill's ilk, if you moved up and got a player of Jaylen Waddle's ilk, right? Like those are, you know, even a guy like Bradley Chubb would be the best pass rusher on this team. We know that. The problem becomes that all was kind of a perfect storm, right? They got the trade done in 2021. And then in 2022, they were able to capitalize on a disgruntled, and don't get me wrong, there's going to be disgruntled wide receivers all the time, but it's very rare that an all-pro wide receiver makes a move like that and then continues to produce at an insanely high level. I mean, you look at what the Cardinals got from a great player in DeAndre Hopkins, and it was one wild year, and then kind of, I mean, and you look at what Tyreek Hill has done in Miami, and he's put up over 3,500 yards receiving in 2 years.
That's
3,500 yards and 20 touchdowns in 2 years. Like, so people go, well, you could go get Tyreek Hill. It's like, no, you can't, because there's only one Tyreek Hill. Like that's the bugaboo, is there's very few 5-time all pro receivers that you can go and get for a first round pick. So that's the thing. So I definitely like the idea of it, because it's like, oh, they could be bad, man. They could be, I mean, this could be a dumpster fire of an organization for the next 3 years, and then you have their pick.
Yes. Well, and I like the notion, but also for this year, because of what you're missing out on, I want something now. And honestly, I want Courtland Sutton more than I want a fourth, third round pick. The Cardinals already have 3 picks in the third round.
Right.
And I want, like, especially if you're losing out. So if you add Cortland Sutton to this receiving core, it sucks that you don't get Marvin Harrison. But even if you, okay, so if you end up with a young, we're going to assume that all the top three, so no Harrison, no Neighbors, no Odunze. You get Cortland Sutton, and then you add Brian Thomas, Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell with pick number 27.
Right.
You feel, and you get Quinyon Mitchell or Cooper DeJean or one of the top tackles.
Even, I was going to say even a Dallas Turner type guy, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes. That would, you know, that make Monty shimmy and dance every week with those right. numbers. But now, so if they add Sutton to that, I would be willing to make that deal. But if it's just going to be the three first-round picks, like this year that's just moving back eight and they get two more firsts over the next 2 years, I don't like that as well because the Cardinals still have to worry about this year. Yes, they're still bidding right. for that. They're trying to win this year. So you need to be rewarded this year. And adding someone like Sutton, who you've got for two more years, you've got age 29, age 30, at $13 million a year, guess what? That's good. That's good. I'd be willing to do that. And then, you know, if they're high on one of these other receivers, because guess what? The first receiver taken is definitely not guaranteed to be the greatest receiver of the class if we've seen over the last several years, right? So
right.
I'm not – everything points to these guys being great. But maybe Brian Thomas isn't DJ Chark. Maybe A.D. Mitchell is an absolute monster. Keon Coleman, he's a guy that I want to see what he does because I like him. I like him.
Or a guy like Xavier Leggett, who I really like and who yes. looks like he, you know, a monster. Like, yeah. And that's the thing is like, you know, there are levels to everything. And you just have to, like I said, like you have to have the conviction that this is the right move. And you can't have buyer's remorse later on, which is, you know, kind of what we've seen a little creep in right now because of how good Will Anderson Jr. was this year, right? Like we've right. seen a little bit of, even though we really like Paris and we're excited about his future, it's just a different crew. And so you have to be, you know, you have to say, you know, it's okay that we missed out on Marvin Harrison or Malik Neighbors. Like, you have to be okay with that. And even if one of those guys becomes a really solid number two and Cortland Sutton's the number two, and you just have two really good number twos plus Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch, you're like, oh, we've got a good group. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
Well, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like you're still, like, with Kyler Murray, with James Conner, with Trey McBride, you don't, like, it would be great to have an alpha at receiver. It would be great to actually have that a dog, but those guys don't always like Harrison, I think is a lock to be that. I think so, but that there's no guarantee of that. And you can have your dog, your alpha, be a second round pick. It could be a Keon Coleman, it could be an A.D. Mitchell, it could be an Xavier, like any of those guys. But yeah, so ultimately when it comes to what my perspective is on a Broncos deal with like the three firsts, as long as they get, and Sutton, yes, third round pick, I'm very mad on that, unless they have their eyes on a someone, or they know if Romeo Odunze ends up dropping to number 12, that's a possibility. Okay, all right, but I'd be much more. I'd like that deal better. And something I'm going to say also, you know what the Cardinals don't need more of this year? They don't need more draft picks.
Yeah, that's the funny thing.
They don't need more draft picks. Like, the Cardinals, we're hoping they're not a gross roster. They already have 11 draft picks. If all 11 draft picks, if they end up with 11 selections in this draft, if all 11 players make the roster, their roster's bad.
Right, exactly. That's the concern. And so, I mean, I get the idea of wanting those guys and, you know, salivating at the idea of like, oh, you've got, you know, instead of the, what do they have, 2-6 top 100 picks. Now you've got seven. Oh, seven top 100 picks. And it's like, you don't have to have seven top 100 picks. Like, do they have seven spots on the roster that can probably be upgraded? Probably. Is it realistic to expect seven rookies to upgrade your roster? Absolutely not. I've watched football for a long time. Great classes get three, right? Like, that's considered generational.
Just look at their, they had four top 100 players last year. Paris Johnson, awesome. B.J. Ojulari, well, we'll
see. We're hoping awesome.
Michael Wilson, good three or four games and dealt with injuries. Garrett Williams, solid half season after he came back from his injury. And that was with four top 100 picks. So
right. And so it's just like, you know, so now, well, and think about it. And I'm not trying to throw shade, but think about their top one. I mean, Cam Thomas and Myjai Sanders. Like, yeah, those are top 100 picks. Like,
Sanders is already gone, and Cam Thomas is soon to be gone, likely.
Right. I mean, Rondale Moore, Josh Jones, who I loved, you know, those are top 100. Andy Isabella, like, those are all top 100 picks. Like, it's not, it doesn't mean that they're going to be great players, and that's what people, I think, struggle with more than anything.
Coming up next on the Resips here at Podcast, the Best Ever Cardinals Talk on the Web. I've got one other scenario. I haven't seen it other than just a random on a Twitter. And I think Seth had one for me as well. It's coming next to Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. What about a three-team trade? I haven't seen this anywhere except for someone I follow and who follows me on Twitter. I don't know if it was his idea or for, but what if? And then this one, I'm like, okay, I'd go for that. It involves the Chargers and the Vikings. And this is kind of how it goes, okay? The Cardinals give up number four and drop back to number five. Minnesota goes up to number four. The Chargers go back to number 11 and get the Cardinals number 27, and the Cardinals get the 23. And then the Chargers get something else from the Vikings. And so basically, the Vikings are still giving up 11, 23, and another pick somewhere, whether it's this year or next year, to move up to number four. Reasonable. The Chargers end up getting two first-round picks. They get 11, they get 27, and something in the future. And then the Cardinals move back one spot from four to five, but it'll then move up four spots to 27 to 23. And then nothing else in the future. And essentially, that guarantees that they're probably still going to get Marvin Harrison, or at minimum Malik Nabers, and they'll be in a better position to get a guy they like a little bit better at the end, at number 23, where maybe they'll be able to get Laiatu or whoever might be one of those cornerbacks that might still be like a Nate Wiggins or something. I don't know, but they still get Harrison. And they creep up a little bit at the end of the first round, although the downside, they don't get any future picks. Well, if that came – and now I don't – in my memory, in the 14 years that I've been covering the NFL, I don't recall a three-team trade. I believe that the Eric Dickerson trade back way was a three-team trade. But I don't have a recollection of that. I think I saw that on Twitter. What if that came up? I would be perfectly 100% okay with that, because it would still mean they could still get Harrison or Nabers, and they could, and you know, PFF says kind of the perfect pair of picks for the Cardinals would be Harrison and Latu. I'm kind of assuming that Latu's neck is cleared medically to be all right. You know, Harrison plus Latu or Nabers and Latu seems like a perfect first round.
Right, and you have to assume that if they were to, draft Latu, that they got the all clear, right? Like, you would have to assume. So, yeah, I mean, that's the ideal scenario, right? I mean, unless, I mean, I can't imagine that anybody takes Marvin Harrison at that point. So, you know, you get Marvin Harrison Jr. and you go, and now, you know, like you lose the, 27th pick, but you've got the 23rd pick. And so now, like you said, you put yourself in a position, and again, consensus mock draft doesn't mean anything, but they're a fantastic tool, NFLDraftDatabase.com, and they have a consensus mock board, which is, you know, they pull all the big boards together and stuff like that. And you look at the consensus there, you know, from 18, so five above and five below. So you have Latu, you have J.C. Latham, you have Nate Wiggins, Troy Fatanu, Cooper DeJean, Amarius Mims, Jackson Power Johnson, Jerzon Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chop Robinson, and Tyler Guyton. Yeah, I think you can use pretty much all of those guys on this roster.
Totally.
So you're going to find somebody that fits. And if one of those guys isn't available, that means one of the guys above is available. So, you know, you're going to end up with somebody that is a need that fits what you need. And so, you know, those things would be, I would say, ideal and allow you to really, really kind of control as much as you can with the fourth pick, or, you know, now the fifth pick. That would allow you to control what you do. And, you know, you're probably not getting corner one or two and Quinnon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, but you have first pick at corner three or four. You might not, you know, get edge one or two in Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, but you might get the next one in Latu or Prop Robinson or whoever the guy is, right? And so that just puts you in a position to make that kind of move and potentially get a guy that ends up being a day one starter, which, let's be honest, if they end up with trading back with Minnesota and getting, you know, having 12, 23, and 27, you have to come away with two starters. Ideally three, but you have to come away with two. If you end up with just two, well, you still have to come away with two starters. Like, that's where you're at from a roster standpoint. And so I just think that the only way you don't is if you end up taking like a guy like Fatanu and you're dead set on him playing right tackle. And so then you're like, oh, we're going to give him a year to get right or whatever. But yeah. I mean, for the most part, you need two impact players on this roster. And so that's what that ideal will get you. Here's my biggest issue. And I love, you know, like you said, I love Quinnon Mitchell. I think he would be a great, great fit for this team. He's an alpha corner, going to be fantastic. However, if you don't get Quinnon Mitchell, you know, or say Terrion Arnold, say they're both gone. And now it's like, well, the best players are Brock Bowers and Jared Verse. It's like, are you that, like, do you love Jared Verse? Is he the guy, or do you need to go, you know, take OT4? Or, and that's where my problem is the further away you get, obviously, the less you control about who's available. So, and we know that Monty's willing to go up and get somebody, right? So they trade back to 12. They want Dallas Turner, so they go up to 7 and get Dallas Turner, right? And they give up 35 this year. You know, they give up 12 and 35, whatever. And you're like, well, but you still have two more first-round picks. So you're weighing it, and you're going, well, they'll probably trade out of 23 or 27 and right at that point. So, you know, it's a really interesting decision that they have to make. But at the same time, I don't want to lose their ability to control who they draft. Right. And the further back you go from four, the less you control things. And no matter what GMs say, you're never like, oh yeah, we've got, you know, we ended up with our number three player in the draft at 12. Like, it rarely actually happens.
Right.
Aaron Donald and those guys. And so that's what my concern becomes. Is just like, you don't, if Dallas Turner's your guy, you know, all right, just buck convention and take Dallas Turner and just hope Marvin Harrison Jr. is not Calvin Johnson, right? Like, that's, or Larry Fitzgerald. You know, so that's my biggest concern with the trade back, is that I just don't know. I just don't like the idea of not being able to control where that pick comes in at. So, you know, I get it. You want to do what's best for the team. You want to set them up for the immediate and the long term, but at what cost? Like, what are you giving up? Because even with those, yeah, so say they go back to 12, like, and you have those, like you said, two more future first round picks, and then you end up with Courtland Sutton. Great trade, great haul. But, you know, if you don't end up with your number one at edge or cornerback, now all of a sudden you're taking your number two. Was it a great trade then? Right? Like that's where I come in at, is sometimes you want to just get your guy and go from there. But I also understand, like you said, like, this roster still needs high-end talent. Yes. And so theoretically getting three first round picks this year, or two this year and two next year, and then two the year after, is, or and like we starter, said earlier,
and the, right, starting receiver is,
or like we said earlier, you know, going the Miami route, and you're like, oh, we've got two first round picks next year, we can trade one of them for, you know, Mr. Disgruntled of the moment,
Brandon Ayuk.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously something to that nature, though. I mean, that's exactly who it would be. Somebody like that who, for whatever reason, hates his team all of a sudden and isn't happy. And it's just, you know, we'll see, though. I maybe it's just phobia because I'm a Cardinals fan and trade backs have never, you know, right, never turned out the way.
We're still haunted by Terrell Suggs. Sorry. It's been 21 right. years, but we remember it and it still haunts us. Seth, what was it? Before the show, you wanted to give it to me cold so that.
It was the Courtland Sutton one.
Okay.
Reacted, yeah. So you reacted perfectly. That's what I wanted to hear. Because, like, I wanted to hear, was that your, like, would that be your tipping point? If it's like 3-1s and Courtland Sutton, and you answered my question. You're like, yes, absolutely. Yes. That's what it would take me.
That's exactly, yeah, that's what I want. It's the okay, we're getting the future picks, but I need something now too. I need something now. So,
right.
Like, if it were first and second, okay, I won't go okay with that, but I even like Courtland Sutton better because you've got him for two more years and you've got him at good ages. So it's age, they're 29, age 30. You can let him age out. If Michael Wilson becomes the guy, great. And then you draft a guy, you get, you know, Aiden Mitchell, Xavier Legette, Keon Colm, whatever. And you can have one of those guys be the guy. Perfect. I mean, then that's the deal I'm making. In fact, the next trade, so we're doing a mock draft. I don't know when the next one is for Touchdown Wire, when we do the network ones and all the editors pick. I do have a deal in the works already with Denver, but it's probably not as good as this one, just to change things up. So, all right. Nothing else that happened in the Cardinals world right now. They haven't signed anybody.
We're just in that weird waiting period.
Yeah, we'll probably start. I imagine we will do a show next week, but we might pare it down to one show for a couple of weeks until we can start really hammering things out for the draft. We know that the off-season program is starting April 15th, but that doesn't, I mean, with OTAs coming in May, and the one thing to do with the off-season workouts is watch azcardinals.com for any videos they show and just pay attention to if there's one thing. pay attention to the offensive line formation. That's all we can do. Because once we hit OTAs, because both I will hit probably one or two media sessions, and Howard Balzer, who's now with Cards Wire, longtime reporter about the Cardinals, will be at OTAs. Because we fall under media there, we will not be able to discuss those things that, you know, that we all want to know. Like, who's playing what position, what team are they running with, blah, 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 blah. We won't be able to talk about that unless, yeah. So back channels, through other people, what to look for, yada, yada, stuff like that. So with that, we will end this edition of the Rise of Tier podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, and we'll probably do a show next week. We'll see what happens, what the Cardinals are doing. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is episode 528. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.
Whoa!